Chapter 10, Another Promise. A loud clang rang out as Rakmeet unlocked the door to the Inksayer's cell and swung it open. He had felt rather defeated after his meeting with Malice, and headed back to the prison with his tail between his legs. When he arrived to relieve Thorin, the old man asked how it had gone. Rakmeet told him it did not pan out. "Rarely does one's first hunch end with a new prisoner," Thorin replied with a knowing smile. Rakmeet looked down at the sleeping Inksayer as he moved the bottle in his hand back and forth, the liquor sloshing inside. The man's eyes parted slowly and he stared at the light for a few seconds before blinking quickly and finally opening his eyes fully.
"Silent, sir. You're back so soon," the man said as he scooted himself closer to the wall and pushed up farther.
"And you brought more drink," he exclaimed as a wide smile beamed on his face. "I have questions for you and drink in exchange for your help," he responded as he tipped the mouth of the bottle to the Inksayer's lips. The Inksayer drank.
"How can I help?"
he asked as he looked at Rakmeet, his eyes shining expectantly. "Why would someone put a word on wood?" The Inksayer looked up as he considered. If one had the word of nature, they could breathe life into a branch long since dead and trigger a response in the word. You would be able to use the word on the wood without putting another on yourself, but the word would function differently. Rakmeet extended the bottle again and the man drank, excitedly. What of a wooden dagger that would turn a man to ash? The Inksayer sat back quickly, his eyes going wide as he stared at the silencer before him. He breathed for a moment and relaxed against the wall once again.
"Perigidas? The cracked man?" the man asked with a smile.
"They are only stories, young silencer. Children's tales told to the youth of my kind to inspire imagination and a want to explore. Tales of the man who stepped through the ages," he said as he moved one of his stumps in an arch. "The Traveler. Birthed an entire generation of Inksayers willing to travel all over Iota." Rakmeet gave him another drink and quickly departed. The moon hung high overhead, its eerie light painting the buildings and streets of Varn City in an otherworldly tone. Rakmeet felt his eyes drawn to the moon, his focus lingering there for many moments until he realized what had happened. Pulling himself from his fixation, he stared before him as he walked his way home. Following his exchange with the Inksayer, the rest of his day had been fairly uneventful. Simply watching over his sector and ensuring the four recruits were all taken care of. Nothing exciting to distract him. Rakmeet had made the best of it, making it further into Cleric's book and growing his notes, and did his best to distract himself from the prisoner's words. A sound like canvas being pelted by the wind ripped past, causing him to look up. Above him, a fire geist tore through the air, a ball of fire with a long tail of flame. Geists, spirits of the Lakesies who had reached transcendence and escaped their body. They were not especially common within the walls, but on occasion would appear in the streets. Geists were much harder to contain and exterminate than the Lakesies, and were mostly harmless. A nuisance, surely, but they were mice compared to the lions. The same noise sounded multiple times, one after the other, and Rakmeet looked up quickly. 6 fire geists chased after the first. That wasn't good. They didn't typically travel in flocks, nor would that many gather often in an area inside the kingdom. But there was one thing that would draw every nearby geist without fail. A newborn Lakesie of the same kind. Rakmeet started to sprint as he tried to keep the spirits in sight. It shocked him, and he couldn't quite wrap his mind around how someone could have managed to become a Lakesie within the walls, under their nose. But it didn't matter. That's what had happened. As he ran, he was thankful that it was so late that most people would have retired to bed by now. Chasing after the geists, he ran through alleyways and rounded corners as he tried to keep up. Finally, he came to a stop and watched the geists before him. They had all gathered around a house, swirling around one another in the house itself. This had to be where the Lakesie was.
The spirits were growing excited, spinning around the building faster and faster. The house had been abandoned the last 4 months. Its owner had been a victim of the Nightwalker and had never been seen again. Whoever was going through the transformation in there had picked a good place to do it in. Rekmeet mentally prepared himself as he unholstered Welcome's death and braced himself against the door. He slowed his breathing before slamming himself against the door and throwing himself inside. Closing the door behind him, he crouched low to the floor and looked towards the center of the room. There was a man curled up on the floor, writhing in pain. His entire body was coated black in charcoal, red cracks running throughout his limbs. Glossy red shards protruded from his body, starting at the shoulders. Jagged coals built up a protective layer like armor. The Lakesy's body twisted and convulsed as the pieces started jutting out around the knees and elbows. Its chest was covered, but the stomach, lower back, and arms were left open. Whatever part of it was not covered in the red magical material was lit with fire. In a flash, the convulsing was done, and the newly turned Lakesy was formed. The Lakesy stood, rising to its feet. It was still a long way from clambering on all fours. The Lakesy turned around as he held his hands out before him, marveling at the flame that grew within them. The protective coals had grown out from its face, forming what looked like a helmet around its head. "I can feel it all," he said as he started to spread the fire, wisps breaking off from his hands and clambering to the walls on either side. Its voice reverberated, a low growl trailing every word it spoke. Finally, it registered Rekmeet and he saw the Lakesy's face contort in response. "I worked too hard for this, Silencer. You will not take this from me," the creature shouted as he built up a concentrated ball of fire in his right hand and launched it forward. The ball sailed towards Rekmeet and he drove out of the way, the blast crashing into the wall, scorching the wood behind him. Leaning up against a wooden cupboard, Rekmeet looked down at Welcome's death and tried to process the situation. He knew he was only going to have one shot. The Lakesy was drunk with power, the endorphins coursing through its mind taking over. He looked to either side and saw the fires were growing and getting larger. If his aim wasn't precise, he doubted he would have enough time to load another shot before the Lakesy burned the whole place down. He unholstered Truly Lives and raised his left hand, aiming it at the Lakesy and firing. The round shot through the air and collided with the Lakesy's chest. The lead ball sank into the red coal and stopped, the fire melting the metal quickly. The beast started to laugh, a horrific sound emanating from the depths of its chest. "You really thought it would be that?" As the man spoke, Rekmeet stood and leveled Welcome's death, aiming the glass round at the Lakesy's face. He pulled the trigger and the glass shot tore out of the pistol. The glass sank into his chest, growing red as it melted through the magic. The creature cried out in pain as the hole started to grow. The armor on its face started to fall away and the charcoal crumbled, ash falling from its face. He threw his head back and continued to cry out, the hole swallowing up that half of its face, the cracks in his body glowing brighter and spreading. The Lakesy had not been alive long enough to calm the storm of energy that rested just beneath the surface. It started to thrash the air around it and fire violently rippled away from it. Rekmeet felt the air thin and struggled to breathe as the oxygen was pulled away from him, tunneling towards the Lakesy. He threw his arms outward and in a flash, a wave of fire exploded out from him. Rekmeet dove back behind the cupboard as the fire washed over top of him. In a moment, it was over, and checking quickly he saw that the Lakesy was down, its face caved in. Its chest was stilled, and the beast was dead. He holstered the wheel locks and looked around at the exits. Though the creature was dead, its fires still raged. Fires separated him from all of the doors and blocked him from taking the staircase to the second floor. There was no way he'd be able to pass through the flames unharmed. Reacting quickly, he found a supply closet untouched by the fire and whipped the door open. Clambering inside, he closed the door and dropped to the floor so as to breathe under the smoke that was sneaking in through the crack. The fire should draw attention. Perhaps he could wait out his time in the closet until there were those who could put it out and rescue him. He didn't know how much time had passed, but he could feel his breath becoming harder and harder to come by. There was a shelf above him that held a single item, a glass jar with a word of spoken writing in it, the word of fire. How fitting, he thought as he stared at it. Time passed and his breathing became more labored, yet he did not tear his eyes away from the word. As time went on, he tried to hold on. He tried to resist the urge to reach out to the word, holding out hope that his saviors would slam the door open at any moment. If he chose the word, he would be abandoning everything that he stood for. He'd be pissing on his obligation and stomping on his father's grave. But he had made another promise: to protect his sister and ensure his nephew grew to have a good life. If he died here, he wouldn't be doing anything. These would be the final moments of his life, alone in a burning house, with escape just within his reach. Soon, the air was no longer breathable, and he started to suffocate. Rachmeet's vision started to blur, going in and out, and his lungs burned. Survival took over. I'll pay the consequences, he thought as he slammed his elbow against the wall, shaking it and knocking the jar off of the shelf. The jar fell to the ground and shattered, releasing the word of fire. Rachmeet heard the word shriek out as it crawled away from the glass and turned towards him. Fear gripped the back of him, his lungs starting to convulse, as the word reared back and launched itself at him. It climbed down his shirt, moving to the right side of his chest, and sank its tendrils into his skin. He sat up in pain as the tendrils dug deep, like 100 fire ants biting into him at once. His chest flared up in pain, and it itched violently. He had been without breath for too long. He fell back, his head slamming against the floor. Then it happened. The word settled and the itch subsided. He could still feel the pain, but it was muddled now, dulled by the euphoria the word had released into him. But his attention was drawn elsewhere. There was a flash in his mind. He closed his eyes and the darkness he had grown so accustomed to was gone. Images flashed through his mind of himself using the word of fire. Rachmeet was baffled and certain he was dying. It was as if he was dreaming, color and images passing through his consciousness, but he was awake. He forced his eyes open and found it did nothing to stop the torrent of images running through the back of his mind. He focused on them the best he could, fighting to stay awake. The images continued to stream and he understood what they were showing him, what the word was capable of, and what he could do with it. He gulped an enormous breath of air and shuddered as the fresh air poured into his burning lungs. He had seen enough to realize that he could survive the fire. He crossed his arms over his chest and thought over the way he had seen it done in the images, securing his defense against the flames. Rachmeet watched as the images continued to play, running through what was written into the word as he began to pass out. Rachmeet. His name was whispered, the voice soft and calming. Do you know what day it is? His eyes cracked open and a wide smile beamed on his face as he saw his mother looking over him. Mira's birthday? Rachmeet asked as he sat up in bed excitedly. That's right, Lura said as she watched him get out of bed and stood there as he threw his hands above his head, waiting for her. She giggled at how chaotically he moved before pulling the shirt over his head and putting a fresh one on in its place. She did the same with his trousers and looked at him afterwards. She was a little over twice his height, but he was growing quickly. Her son beamed excitedly. Lura tussled his hair and his eyebrows furrowed. Must you? He asked, flinching at her touch for a moment. No matter how much he glared at her and tried to seem tough, it always made her smile. I must, she said with a jovial tone as she led him towards the front door. Will you ever stop? Lura said as she turned to face him and thought. Maybe when you are 20 years, she said before turning back to the door and opening. When I'm 20, he asked in disbelief as he threw his arms up and down in exasperation as he followed.
I have to wait another 12 years.
I said maybe, she said as they made their way out of the house and started walking along the street. I might even do it until you're 40th, she said over her shoulder, keeping the grin out of her tone.
Until my 40th, Breckmead protested as he walked behind her.
How about this? I will stop once you are taller than me, she said in a playful voice. Breckmead rushed up to walk next to her.
But you are so tall, he exclaimed, stretching out the last word.
And your hair is too easy to reach, Lewis said as she tussled his hair again. He twitched and made all manner of sound, but couldn't keep himself from falling into a giggle as she wrapped one arm around him.
Are you excited to see Mira today?
Yes, he said as he looked at the trees they passed. I hope her tomatoes are doing well this year. I wasn't able to get one the last time we visited, but they were really good before. Mira had been a friend of his mother's for the last 5 years. For the last 4, they had made a tradition of visiting her garden on the day of her birth, celebrating how many years she had been alive. Breckmead knew Mira was older, but had no idea by how much. They came across Mira's house. It was a small cottage with just enough room for her, surrounded by a stone wall that came up 2 feet. Inside of the wall, and all sides of the cottage, was Mira's garden. It was a decent size and held a myriad of different vegetables. Breckmead liked it because of the colors. It was beautiful. As with every time they visited, Mira was out in her garden tending to her crops. But she looked different than the last time. Her transformation looked almost complete. Over the years she tended to the garden, she had used the word of nature. 2 years ago, she started to show signs of becoming a Lakesy. A layer of bark started to cover her skin, her hair turning into vines and branches. Breckmead could barely remember what she used to look like, but he knew that the last they'd seen her, her face and hands had been untouched. But now, there was not an inch of her that wasn't covered in bark. Her face held a green hue to it, moss growing in the place of what were once eyebrows. Her fingers stretched out into branches, but still, with all of the changes, he would have recognized the eyes that looked back at him anywhere.
Mira!
He shouted, turning to look at his mother. Lura nodded. Breckmead ran ahead of his mom and threw himself over the rock wall, running up to Mira.
Why, hello, Breckmead!
Mira said as she knelt down so that she was face to face with him. Her voice held a melody to it, as if she were singing.
Happy year day,
he said as he brought his arms wide and pushed into her. He ended up hugging her at the waist and she wrapped her branches around him.
Thank you, Breckmead. You are so sweet.
That he is, Lura said with a laugh as she came to stand next to him.
Do you have any tomatoes? He asked, breaking away from the hug and looking up at her expectantly.
You are in luck, Mira said as she reached behind herself and produced one. It's fresh. I pulled it this morning. Breckmead went to run away when he turned back to his mother.
I'm thirsty, mother.
Lura nodded as she reached into the air, the wart of water that started to twitch under her shirt, and he watched as the tendril in her eye came to life. A small mist swirled in her hand and vortexed, until she held a gelatinous ball of water. She brought it towards his face and Breckmead sipped. It was refreshing. He gulped with a satisfied, ah.
Mira and I need to talk as adults, Breckmead. Why don't you go play on the other side of the wall?
Breckmead was rolling a pebble with his foot, watching the trail that it left in the soft dirt as he moved it. He munched on a tomato as he did so. He liked these days, when he was alone but his mother was close.
Mira, what's come over you?
His mother shouted. The tone in her voice startled him. He stood up quickly and ran towards the wall, desperate to see what was happening.
Stay back, Breckmead, his mother shouted as he came to a stop.
His mother was facing him, kneeling and bent over. Mira was behind her, crouched and with a hand gripping her right shoulder. The front of her tunic was stained red in blood. Breckmead watched, frozen in horror as Mira pulled, the tendrils of his mother's words stretching from Lura to her friend's hand. Blood stretched the distance. His mother cried out in agony and pain. When he looked at Mira's eyes, the Lakesy stared back. I hope you all enjoyed that chapter. Check in next episode for chapter 11,
Consequences.
And as always, the song I used was Fluid Scape by Kevin McLeod and Incompetech.com, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license, at http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0.